Good to see each one of you. And our memory verse, Ephesians 3, 4 through 21. So either read it, try to say it, or work at it. One of the four. And Ephesians 3. Are you ready? Are you ready, Scott? Not ready yet. Well, pretty soon you won't have any excuse.
Yeah, I know. Because we're going to be all the way to one.
Yes.
then I'll get
them. Okay. Ephesians 3, 4 through 21. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages hath unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, where to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, was this grace given, that I should make Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men know the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have an access with confidence by the faith of him. That you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and length and breadth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the knowledge of God. Unto him that is able to keep thee above all that you have asked or anything, to the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Okay, great. Some of it started going too fast for me. All right, well, we're getting it little bit by little bit. And we're glad that some of you are working hard at that. And good to have Todd's family with us today. Glad that you're with us. And we're glad for each one of you. And let's have some prayer. And Scott, lead us, okay?
Father, thank you for allowing us to come to your house again today, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us through your word, through the Sunday school message, Lord, and through the main message today, Lord, that we might hear, that we might listen, that we might apply it to our lives, Lord, that we might leave this place knowing something from your word that we did not know before we came. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, your lesson has been caught up in the printer. We got some. Wow, it's a miracle. We're down to, we've had two printers die over the weekend.
It'll be a miracle if they can read these.
And one is partially resurrected here. Okay, so let's turn our Bible to Book of Proverbs. And we're going to start off Proverbs 24 and verse 5, and we'll kind of go from there. Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. All right, let's think of the perspective of a wise man as we think of the issue of wisdom. Wisdom is a person who whose knowledge is not limited by the horizon. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is looking more at life from a vertical position than a horizontal position. The wisdom of Proverbs is the contrast of the limited wisdom of youth versus the vast wisdom of a father or an adult. And so we find this phrase here. This is kind of one of our phrases we want to use about finances. Wisdom makes him strong over temptations and the simple enemies of life. The simple are weak and get caught up in the traps of life. Okay? So, let's make it simple. You go into Walmart, and the advertising says, this is what you need to buy, and you need to buy it now. Okay? All right? Who are they aiming that at? Who are they aiming that at? What's the contrast between the wise? The Bible says the simple believeth every word. Right? Okay? So Walmart, their advertising is aimed at who? The simple. Okay? Right? All right? And the wise man says, no, I don't need that. I have other things that are a priority over that. So his mental state is strong in comparison to the weak state of the simple. All right? So that's why it says the wise man is strong. I think it is Proverbs, hopefully, 11:10. Look there. No, that's not the right verse. I can't even read my own writing here. Well, I guess we'll have to. It's on some of these other verses that we looked at, but it was the verse about how the wise man retaineth riches. See if you can find that, Matthew. Got your concordance there? Thank you. 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Retain riches. Okay? So, you go to Walmart, and they're saying, I want your riches. Right? That's what they're saying. I want your riches. Okay? And the wise man retains his riches. Walmart says to the simple person, not in every way, but obviously you might go to Walmart because you want to save some money. And you probably will if you know what you're going to get and you go there. You know, a lot of times you go to the store and you get something other than what you went there for. I did that a couple weeks ago. I went to Home Depot and I needed to get a part for a plastic for plastic watering pipe. I went there to get it, and I got two or three other things. And then I said, oh, I'll get it at... Then I got in the car, and I was on my way to home. I said, I'll go get it at TSC. And so then I went to TSC, and I got a couple things. But I never got what I was supposed to get. And so I got home, and I didn't have what I was supposed to get. I had to go back to TSC and buy what I was supposed to get. And they said, you're back. I said, yeah, I didn't buy what I came here for. Okay, so now... Proverbs 27:12. Let's turn there again. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Okay? A prudent man plans ahead for the evil day and is discerning, whereas the simple are easily deceived. The simple are easily deceived. Okay? So here we have again wisdom. Now, let's put that into a practical thing. I talked to one of our Sunday school teachers, and they were talking about money. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but she said, you know, in my class, I think there was high school class, I have these girls, they said, well, why should I have a budget? I don't have any income. Now, let me ask a question. A prudent man foreseeth evil. All right? So, let's just say, as we said before, your treasure is where your heart is where your treasure is, and your treasure is where your heart will be. Okay, so, one of the whole aspects of a budget is to plan ahead. Okay, and I would say that one thing that you should plan ahead for your children is a you know, a Bible education. And you know, Bible education costs money. Okay, so we need this amount of dollars at some point, at point T in time, you need this amount of dollars. Okay? So, let's just say in this T represents, let's just say it represents 19 years. At this point in time, you're going to need this amount of money. And let's just say that this person is at, they're at 16T. And at that point in life, how much of this amount of money should they have saved? If you're doing it from a financial standpoint, how much should they have saved? Well, I realize that the money earning power is from here to here. Okay. But do you think they should have something saved? I think they should have something saved. Okay. Now, this is the purpose of a budget. A budget tells you what you need to have at a certain point in your life. All right? Now, and so what does a budget tell you? A budget tells you what you should do. Now, this budget tells me at this point, you better be working. You know, if you have a 16-year-old and they have no thought about working and saving, you have a 16-year-old that doesn't have any plans. Either that, or we would say their mind is in the sky. They think that at some magic point in life that they are going to be able to do whatever they're supposed to do and blah, you know, comes out of the sky, right? Doesn't come out of the sky. Okay? So, you know, the wise man, the Bible says, is the ant. Go to the ant, who having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat when? In the summer. Okay? So here, you might say, here you got the summer of life, and now here comes winter. Outflow, outflow, outflow. Okay? So what are you going to do in the summer? Oh, man! I got it made in life. You know what? You know, I can do whatever I want. I can enjoy life. You know, I could live in a crystal ball and everything is fine. I don't have to think about the future. Now, really, that's not a problem with kids. It's a problem with parents. That's the problem. That's why we're talking about here, problem with parents. You know why? Because then, typically, when a person gets here and they haven't prepared for it, guess what? There's always something easier to do. Always a shortcut to take. Always a principle to violate. Why? Because the summertime has been spent sitting under a shade tree, drinking a glass of lemonade, enjoying the beauty of this. You know, don't you think, you know, you have these beautiful days, not like some of these last week was 120 degrees, but you know, you have a beautiful day, it's 80 degrees, and it's nice, cool breeze, and you know, and you think, boy, this would be a great day to be on vacation. Right? But you know, that's not always very good thinking. Because it might be a great day to work. You know what I'm saying? It might. I know my flesh would say, "Man, I probably wouldn't last too long under the shade tree." But I know that's what my flesh would want to do. Okay. So, the importance of a budget. Now, I want to give you some good news before we go too much further into our lesson. One of the issues of a budget is to tell us is to save money. Okay? With the proper budget, you can save money. Okay? Now, I'll give you a good example how you can save money with a budget. Okay? Now, okay, here's the, let's see here. Try to make sure I have all my figures here right. Okay, I don't have the total. So, I'll have to do it a little bit differently. So if you have a person has a $200,000 mortgage, it's at 4% interest, and it's over a 30-year, it's a 30-year mortgage. That's, you know, not too far out of line. Okay? If now, this is not realistic. I got to give you a realistic one. I had a realistic one here. Oh, here's a realistic one. I have so many realistic ones, I can't find it. Okay, here we go. $100,000. The rate is 4%. It's 30 years. If you put $100 extra on the mortgage per month, okay, you will save $22,463 in interest. And you will decrease the years of payments from 30 years to 21 years, 7 months. By just simply putting $100 on your mortgage payment a month, you'll save $22,400. I should have said, how many will give me $100 if I can save you $22,000? That's what the financial seminar is going to do. They're going to say, you know, send us $150. We'll send you to this seminar. And we will guarantee you, we will save you $35,000. No, but this is an actual. Now, the $100 extra you are paying a month, you aren't throwing it away because you're actually putting it on your mortgage, right? You're not throwing it away. And it's something that you would have to pay anyhow, okay? So you're not paying extra. You're not throwing it away. You're paying what you'd already pay, but you're just paying $100 a month. And on this simple thing, you are saving $22,463. Amazing. Amazing. Now, I think that, so if you could go to $200,000 and do the same thing, I'm not sure, but... So let's put it from a standpoint, okay? So let's just say you're doing this for 22 years, okay? So that means every year you're saving $1,000, right? Okay? How much money are you spending to save $1,000? $1,200. You're spending $1,200. So for every dollar you're putting on your mortgage above the mortgage payment in this scenario, You are saving one for one. Wouldn't that be great? Okay? If you could, you had an investment that for every dollar you spent, you'd get a dollar back. Because you're going to get both of them, right, back. This is spent on the mortgage. It's not being thrown away. Okay? You're going to have to spend this anyhow. So by spending $1,200, you're saving $1,000. That's pretty good return on your money, isn't it? Okay? So what would you think would be better? Now, I don't know. I haven't investigated this. But what would be better? To put the $1,200 in the bank at 0.1% interest. Get $12 a year. Would that be better? No, that's not right, is it? What is that? Now the interest rate is, so that's 0.001. Yeah, it's $12. Okay, so you get $12. Now what would you rather do? Get $12 from the bank or save from giving to the bank $1,200? What do you think is, why do you think the bank would like you to refinance? That'd be a good idea. Now, refinance is a pretty good idea, but they probably want you to refinance for, 20 years. Boy, you could really cut that payment down, couldn't you? You're at 15 and you're going to get a lower interest rate. And so now let's go bump it up to 30. You have some really low payments for a long time and the bank will make a lot of money off of you. Right? Okay. So this is just, again, a simple thing. What does a budget do? A budget tells you a budget says, what would you rather do? Stop paying your mortgage at 21 years or keep going for 30 years? Spend $1,200 extra or spend that $1,200 on fun. And if you spent it on fun, how much of it would you get back? Actually, you would not only get zero back, but that $1,200, okay, you're not only going to lose the $1,200, but you're also going to lose the... So, in other words, in this scenario, every dollar you spend on fun, you're going to be actually losing $2. Because you're going to lose the money you're going to pay off the mortgage, and you're going to lose the money you're going to lose the money you're going to pay off on the principal, and you're going to lose off the money they're saving the interest. So every dollar you spend on fun or something that really doesn't last, you're going to lose how many? $2. Okay? That's, in other words, here's right thinking, isn't it? Going to lose $2 for every dollar you spend on fun if you could put it on the mortgage. Okay? Al?
Being a wise man, I know the proper man would be instead of putting $150 on it, negotiate that thing down about 15 years. You'd still be able
to. You can negotiate it down to 15 years? Yeah. But at 15 years, you're still going to be paying interest. You'll be paying less interest, but you could do the same thing. Okay? So here's a scenario. Here's a scenario. Let's see if I got this figured right. I had a bunch of figures here, so they don't make much sense. But, okay. There's a interest calculator that you can go on the internet, get an interest calculator, and you can put on there the term of your loan, your interest rate, and how much you're going to pay extra on your mortgage per month, and it will tell you how much money you will save in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, plus it will tell you how many years you will take off your mortgage. Okay? Real simple. So if you want to put $10 a month extra for 20 years, in fact, I was, a 30-year note is really not a really good idea. The only reason a 30-year note would be good is if there might be a period in your year that you just would have low income and you would need that low payment as a cushion, okay? And so if that were so, you would need that low payment, okay? But I wouldn't live by it, all right? Because you can always adjust that in other times of the year when you would have more income. But if you know that in some months of the year you're only going to have so much income and you can only put so much on your mortgage, then go for that 30-year, okay? On the other hand, obviously, a 15-year is going to be maybe 0.5% interest lower than a 30-year, okay? And that's quite a bit of money right there, okay? And so you're saving interest that way too, yes? Well, if you don't make your payment, one payment, they're going to knock you up to 24%. They're pretty smart, okay? Now, let's we kind of put that within our budget, okay? So we're going to turn on there the necessity of a budget, okay? What does a budget do? A budget requires a person to determine and set, it's supposed to be set, their priorities. Okay? A budget requires a person to determine and to set their priorities. Now let me ask you a question. If you don't have a budget, you probably or may not know what your priorities are. Okay? So, let's do a budget. Let's do it. Okay, so let's just say that in our budget, this is an example. In our budget, we have $10 a week for missions. Okay? All right? And now, in our budget, we're going to put all our expenses down first. We're going to list them all, everything we spend our money on. Okay, we look at our budget, and then we see, by the time you add up cat food, dog food, litter, vet, et cetera, okay, now you got to be honest. Okay, put it all up, you know, include the vet. Okay, I spend $20 a week on pets. It would be high. You ever go to a vet? What if you go to the vet one time? What will go to the vet one time cost you? $300 to anywhere beyond that. That's $7 a week. $300. $6 a week right there. Okay? But, so what if you have more than one pet? And I'm just talking realistically. Some people have more than one pet. Okay? Now, maybe this is extreme, but I don't think it's too extreme. All right? So what does this tell you about your priorities? Does a budget lie? A budget doesn't lie. A person can say, I love missions. I really love missions. Really? Get your budget out. Make a budget. You spend $20 a week on pets? Let me ask you a question. What's the difference in eternal good? So a budget tells the truth about our life. Okay, so we get a budget, and let's say, let's say that in our budget, so our budget is going to tell us what our priorities are. That's going to tell us what you spend the most money on. We already talked about that. A budget is going to tell you what your purpose is in life. Let's say your budget is going to tell you about your spending habits. Okay, so you're a teenager. All right? And you're a teenager. And you spent this amount on this week on Mountain Dew. Okay? And you spent this amount, on missions. Well, what if you spent two times as much on Mountain Dew and Culver's and McDonald's and Taco Bell? Or maybe, what about like three times as you did on missions? Does a person want to see that? Huh? Person want to see that? No, person doesn't want to see that, do they? What'd you say?
Better see it now than the judgment seat.
Yeah, Thomas says, better see it now than in the judgment seat. Yes. So, you see, a budget tells you your spending habits. And so, who do you think teenagers should have a budget? Yeah. Teenager ought to have a budget. Now, they say, I got plenty of money. Okay, yeah, you got plenty of money, so you can spend this amount on something that's really not important. Okay, but what does it tell you about your soul? It says an awful lot about your soul, doesn't it? It says a lot about the judgment seat. And it says something about our character. What does it tell us about our character? You know what? It tells us our character is lying to us. Right? Our character, in this case, would say, hey, I don't spend too much money in Mountain Dew. I don't waste much money in Mountain Dew. Don't try to tell me. Okay? But make the budget. And let the budget tell us about our character. The budget doesn't lie. It tells us our character. It tells us our priorities. Okay? It gives us a realistic view of life. Okay? And so, okay.
I'd say another thing it tells us that people wouldn't like. This is related, but it tells us the direction of our life. If you're a teenager and this is how you spend your money, when's that going to change? Is it going to change by some lightning bolt out of heaven? Huh? What do you think, Melody? Okay, I think that's a big question, but in our home, our goal is that all our children serve the Lord full time. Okay, and to me, that is not a career. Now, my wife according to the world, has a very high career position. She is a pastor's wife. But you look at the church financial statement, how much money does she get paid a week for answering the phone, for counseling, for ministering to ladies? How much money does she get paid a week? Nothing. Okay? That's ministry. All right? Now, she paid a big price to get there. Okay? And it cost something for her to get there. Now, I'm not saying that a person has to do that, but I think that there's a degree, in many cases, there's a degree of effectiveness that a lady has as a pastor's wife, as a missionary's wife, that has a lot to do with how she is trained, okay? And it may well be, has a lot to do with what her position will be. Personally, I believe even a mission field, that the greatest need on the mission field is Christian schools. And that is why missionary work is so very unsuccessful. Is because we have converts who have never been totally, their thinking has not been changed. In Africa, people still think tribally. They still think tribal customs. Doesn't matter whether they've been saved 10 years or 30 years or 40 years. Most of them, 90%+, 95% of them, think heathen. They go to church, but they think and act heathen. And why? Because the missionary has not had the perspective to thoroughly train these people in Christian thinking. And that is the you send a kid to the public school, and I tell you what, they're going to come out thinking like a heathen. Even if they're a good Christian, they're going to come out thinking like a heathen. I'm sorry, they're going to. And so I think that the whole idea of and this is a little bit of a, this is a little bit broad sweep of the brush, but I think that young ladies need to have a purpose in their life, and you help prepare for that purpose by aiming them in whatever direction they need to go. And I think in our home, Bible college has always been part of that purpose. Now, I'm not saying that is totally, you know, that's just our perspective. Yes, dear. Okay, I think that's a good point. I mean, obviously, where are they going to make that money? Okay. And so there's a case of being inventive so that young people can work in a Christian environment. I think that's really a really essential thing. I know that the men in our church whose children have worked at the nursery have been very thankful for that, that their children have been able to earn money in a Christian environment. And that has been a great help. Okay, can we get past that now?
I was just going to say that some, you know, you've seen it in both cases, some that come out on top, working, I mean, they've been able to make it working in a secular area. Others, it has been a tremendous downfall. Part of that comes from the home, from the, there's just so many factors involved. So it's like you've got to get the mind of God.
Yep, it's a very real issue. Okay? I have some thoughts here on, necessity of budget, tells the truth, number three, determines what we should do. Determines what we should do. Possibilities, number one, it should tell us we should stop spending foolishly. Number two, it should tell us get a job. It should tell us we need to start saving. It should tell us, perhaps, that we should change our spending habits. Five, it should tell us start tithing. I talked to the man who's a pastor that was here Wednesday night. He is a financial planner. And so he has a mortgage company. And a Christian called him up and said, whatever, and said, I'm in debt. And they said, he said, do you tithe? And they said, no. They said, well, you'll never get out of debt if you don't start tithing. You'll never get out of debt unless you tithe. And interesting, he told me one scenario when they called the person and he said they're about to go into foreclosure, and they said, do you tithe? No, don't tithe. I says, you start tithing and I will loan you the money to get caught up with your payments and et cetera, et cetera. And in 2 months, the person was caught up and able to pay back the loan. So anybody that's in a Christian that's in debt probably doesn't tithe. Or they have some other major issues here. Okay? Now let's skip to quickly. Oh, man, we've got a lot of time left. We have a section here on how to set up a budget. Okay, we'll just do this quickly. I have 9 things. Make a list. You got to have lists. 1, list all income and assets. 2, list all monthly, yearly, weekly obligations. 3, list all bills. 4, list predetermined needs, long-term or short-term. 5, from your income, deduct from your income, make your income into a monthly statement, deduct tithes and giving and taxes. This is spendable income. 6, take all obligations, take or put all obligations into monthly amounts. Do this first with all living expenses, then divide bills into categories of payments, immediate or monthly. 7, determine how much income after living expenses is available for bills. Okay? In other words, if there's a negative, you may need to adjust your living expenses or determine here that you need more income. That means you're going to have to work more. 8, divide bills into payment categories. A, B, C, this gets paid, weekly, monthly. This has to be done now. This can be in a monthly category. And I determined that no extra money can be spent till all bills are paid off. Boy, that would save people a lot of money, wouldn't it? Put all your bills down and say you can't spend anything else on anything until all your bills are paid off. Well, that would save a lot of people a lot of money, wouldn't it? Okay? So you say somebody calls up and say, hey, guess what? This coffee pot, this coffee maker that you've been wanting for 10 years, it is now on sale. You know, for unbelievable 60% off. And you say, no. Why? Because the budget determines what you can spend. If you don't have a budget, now you will spend that money that you didn't have to spend. And now, instead of $60 going toward a bill that could be paid off, now you got to make $60 more to pay off that bill. Okay? So the budget has a great part of it. It has a no in it. No. No. And so that's a really important part. No. We can't. No, it's not God's will. It's not God's will. Hey, I tell you what, this is a great deal. I mean, there's a 2012 Cadillac for, $5,000, great deal. No. Okay, we've got about 1 minute. Savings. Determine that savings is a part of your budget. Even as little as $1 or $5 a week. Why do I say that? You know why? Because savings is always hard. And it has to be built into the system to do it, even if it's $1 a week. Yes. Yes, but you still should have a savings. I don't. Huh? That would be savings, but you still that you can't get any money out of that savings. You can't get any money out of that savings if you have a need. You can't get it. It's a banked savings that you can't draw any money out of. Okay, but you got to have savings so that when you need it, it's there. Yes. That's part of being an ant, isn't it? Preparing for winter. We already talked about your mortgage payments. 3, find a way to save dollars in a category that will give you a good return. For instance, don't ask me about investing. I'm the worst person in the world, guarantee it. But natural gas right now is the lowest it's been in history. Might even go lower. Okay? But, for instance, there's a natural gas company called ERF, Canadian. And their price just dropped in half because of the price of gas. But even at half price, they are giving a 4% dividend a year. So you're probably at the bottom of the market, but probably as the winter season comes in, you can't go to the bank and earn anything. But there are, and don't ask me about that because I'm the greatest loser, okay? Okay? But that's an example. Okay, time is up. We've got to quit. Father, pray that you'd help us, to stir us, Lord, to be better stewards of all that you've given us, that the kingdom of God would go forward, and that we would be the stewards, Lord, that could be used of thee to help the kingdom of God go further rather than helping the system of Babylon go further with our money. And so we ask your blessing on your people in Jesus' name. Amen.